This is an adult-oriented podcast involving discussions about sex and the BDSM lifestyle. If you do not wish to hear about these things, or if you are under 18 years of age, stop listening now. This isn't the show for you. I torture you. Take my hand through the flame. I torture you. I'm a slave to your games. And welcome back to Adventures in Kink. I'm BK.
I'm Princess Pita.
And today we're joined by
James or Dallas Kink or James Nawashi.
He goes by lots of names, but his deal is rope. We didn't write any getting to know you questions, but that's okay. We'll just get to know you. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I have been interested in bondage for a long time. When I was very young, I was 8-ish or so. Had a neighbor about my age, and he had an older brother that was in maybe in his teens or so. And this kid said, "You know, have you heard of Foreigner?" And I said, "I don't know, what is that?" And he said, "It's a band. They're cool." And I was like, "I don't know. Is it Kiss? Because I like Kiss." And he's like, "No, it's not Kiss. It's Foreigner. You should come listen to it." And so we went into his brother's room and listened to the album. His brother came in and was upset that we had gotten into his room. So basically grabbed a friend of his and tied up me and the kid and threw us in the front yard. Mm. And so it was a very powerful experience. And I just remember thinking, I want to know how to do this. So I said, "Well, let's go listen to your brother's albums again." And we got tied up one more time, and I figured it out. You know, I was like, "Okay, these cross here, and then it goes around here. I got it." So then shortly thereafter, I went and tied up my sister and tickled her until she peed, and it was such a victorious moment. But then parents found out about that, and were like, "No. You're done with all that." So that was the imprint. And then about 25 years later, a girl I was dating said, "Would you tie me up before we have sex?" And I was like, "What?" Yeah.
Who knew?
That resonates with me. So let's do this. I grabbed some pantyhose and a purse strap, and you know, that's how it got started. So
Now we're talking.
Yeah. And so we kind of just blindly stumbled through bondage and whatever our dynamic was, dominance and submission, boyfriend, girlfriend. It changed at times because we didn't really know what. It was all new. So
mostly it was tie me up and do me.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it's a dynamic.
So that relationship ended, and I met somebody immediately thereafter that was very into bondage, and I knew it from the get-go, and it was a large part of her identity and what she liked, and so I became much more interested in it, as these things do. Often, you know, I ended up at a Hall & Oates concert because of girls, so very
things,
powerful.
The
boobs
things
are very
we
powerful
do
yeah.
for women. Yes.
Right. You know, that really turned into me buying a lot of ropes so that we could do more bondage and copy pictures that we saw on the internet that we found interesting and hot, and then it really just started adding up, and I thought, well, it's just not an inexpensive hobby. And so I was at the local DFW Bound meetup, and this guy named Taipan was teaching people how to make rope. And I was like, "Well, this is great. Tell me more." So I made rope that night, and I thought, "Well, this has got to be cheaper than buying it. How much did this spool cost?" And he was like, "I don't know. It was a few dollars." And I was like, "Oh, I'm now making rope of some sort. I'm going to find yarn." I went to Michaels and Hobby Lobby and, you know, experimented with whatever I could find. That relationship ended, and I put a couple of pieces of rope on Twitter and gave them a weird, like, you know, this dark hemp with its rich finish would go well on an olive-skinned brunette. And then the next day I put something up about silk rope and a blonde-haired girl. And then the next day it was something about jute rope and a red-haired girl. And this company, Maui Kink, said, "We saw your tweets and wondered if you would make rope for us."
Hey.
And I was like, you know what? I think I would do that. So
that might be fun.
It was just a couple of hours on the weekend. I would crank out an order or two or three, and then it turned into double that, and then double that again. And so
it's quite large now.
So I found a woman that has been getting tied up for as long as I've been tying up, and loves rope as much as I do. And we got married, and at some point we just kind of started looking at the receipts and what she was making at the time, and I thought, you know what, I think you can, like, do this for a job if you want. I mean, it's up to you. And
yeah.
She was like, well, that's, you know, maybe, but, you know, I have a career, and I don't know if that I would, I don't know what to do about that. And then we finally just decided, yeah, this is the thing to do. We're going to carve our own path. And so now she has a couple of people that help her, and she just does that full time and has help at it. And I, you know, I still make plenty of rope, but I have a day job that I like. And so it just kind of is what it is. I started it, and now it's got a life of its own.
That's awesome. My toy business does not have a life of its own, but it is also not a business. It's a hobby. So that's okay. I really never intended mine to grow, and yours, I don't know if you intended that, but wow, it's massive. Of course, we're sitting here in your home, and there's rope everywhere. Like, I'm not exaggerating at all.
No, we were limboing under it as we walked in. Yes.
And it, a lot of it is pre-rope, so it's like prepubescent rope, I guess. It's not adult rope yet. It's not.
String, yarn.
Yeah. And it's really interesting, because I just kind of want to go play it like a harp, you know, but I'm not going to touch it because
I don't know how the cat is sitting there and not.
The cat must be insane because it's not pounced on any rope, or because it's probably been chastised enough to know better. But
yeah, there are definitely moments when the cats, I call it, they're on Twitch.
Yeah.
And so they're, you know, racing around and making their noises and chasing whatever is in front of them. And if Catherine's bundling rope, then there's a good chance.
For us, that's always in the middle of the night when our cat decides that it needs to.
But, yeah, it's, life with animals is fun. That's why we have them. But
yeah.
So
Etsy store.
So Etsy store, where can people buy your rope?
MyNawashi.com. It's an Etsy store.
Yeah.
It translates into rope maker. And it just kind of came to me in a dream. I don't know, as well as the logo. And
it's lovely. I actually follow you on Etsy. I
think we've got like several hundred positive reviews.
Oh, yeah.
Now, so.
Yeah, and I think you may know something about another small rope event that happens around and has recently bled over to another city somewhere.
Oh, it's, yeah, the rope making really funded the other venture, which wasn't even my idea. I just kept hearing several people say, oh, they have this huge thing in Chicago, this ShibariCon, and and Dallas is big. Why don't we should do something? And then you know, a couple of years later, somebody would say, there's this thing, and have you been? You've been? I saw you there. It was Oktoberfest. We should do that here. That's Austin. This is Dallas. Why not? So enough people said,
peer pressure.
We should do yeah. That, I was like, well, okay, let's do this then. So the first year in Dallas was, you know, an adventure. As your first attempt at anything is, right. You learn a lot of things. There's a great deal gained going through these kinds of experiences. You learn to juggle and spin plates and manage processes and people. It's there's a lot to it.
Logistics is real.
Yeah. So we have gotten better every year. You know, there are always some things that we can improve. The first year we didn't have a wrap-up
right.
party after the last class. People just kind of wandered away, and we're like, I guess we'll meet at the aft party? So we have a closing ceremony now. You know, we had lines 1 year, so we fixed that, and we're maturing. And I thought that we had it figured out well enough that we could replicate it easily in another city. And it's the first year again,
right.
In another city. So there are a lot of, oh yeah.
Oh, well, that's different.
Well, okay. Well, how are we going to deal with that then? And, you know, it's a bunch of good people that want to do this because they're into rope and they want people to have access to education. And so they solve the problem. They figure out how do we get this done. And there are a couple of people in Denver this year that are my heroes that are managing quite a bit of this as boots on the ground. So I've got a couple of thank yous to say in a few weeks to those folks. But I'm very excited about it. We have Bingo Shiganawa from Japan, who will be our headliner, Addy and Barkus, and a cast of other really creative and terrific teachers and riggers and performers. So there will be a pre-party, just like we have in Dallas, after-party, just like we have in Dallas, with a bunch of performers. It's just going to be a really cool after-party. So I'm super excited about it. We still have a few logistics things to figure out, but it'll all be fine.
You got good people. It's all going to work out.
Yeah.
I know it will. It's going to be great. I can't wait to hear about it. I wish I could go. It never fails.
Me too.
Bed always falls every year on a weekend that I'm working. Perhaps we could work on that. I don't know. But
you know, we looked at a lot of calendars, I'll be honest. We consulted a lot of people. We may have, the invitation may have gotten lost in the mail.
You accidentally missed the BK calendar.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. I'm not upset. I'm not angry. I'm not bitter.
We are going to make it there someday.
One day I may just burn a vacation day or three or whatever and
roll on through.
May do that.
You know, it doesn't matter what weekend we pick.
There's always going to be a conflict.
Something, yeah. There are so many events happening these days that it's not just, you know, a local event that is the thing. It could be something another three states away that
right,
there's another
right.
rope event that now there are several of them. It's a scheduling thing that is not easy.
Yeah. No, rope is kind of one of those niche communities that if you're into rope, that doesn't mean you're into everything else that's kink or BDSM or what have you. It's sometimes rope is all you do. And so you got rope things going on globally. And yeah, sometimes you're going to have conflicts. You do what you got to do. Eventually, hopefully people like your event and everyone starts to schedule around you.
Right. You plant your flag.
Yeah.
This is our weekend. So we decided this is going to be ours.
And so,
yeah.
So let's actually talk about rope. Someone wants to get into rope. Suggestions for them?
Locally, that would be the DFW Bound group. That's the a place to find education in Dallas.
We may have a listener in Michigan or something. I don't know.
FetLife is obviously a huge resource. There are several groups in there, but a couple of great events that aren't Bondage Expo Dallas or Denver are Fire, Ropecraft. There are several opportunities for rope education. If you want to find it, it's available to you. Might not be in your hometown tomorrow, but it's probably not too far off, not too far away.
I think I looked one time for rope things going on nationally, and I think that I could find something at least once a month if I wanted to do rope.
I bet. Yeah, on the
East as far Coast, as a pretty major, semi-major event, you know, yeah. Something at least once a month. And some months, especially during the summer, almost weekly, a major event somewhere, pretty close to it. It sure felt like it anyway. And I'm like, wow. And then I kept seeing, you know, because sometimes I was curious, like, who's going to that? Who's going to be there? Okay, cool. They were at the one last week, too. I thought, that's cool. And it's just, it's amazing that people travel, like, all summer. And that's what they do. They teach rope and stuff. And that's really cool. People that want to get into it, pay attention to those classes. Listen, you know, because there's a lot of safety stuff that you need to know.
Yep.
Don't just go grab some rope and throw it on somebody and think, hey, cool, I can tie people up. Because a lot of times there's things you need to know. And if you want it to look pretty, there's a few other things you might need to know. So, yeah,
sure.
Find those groups.
So many resources. Topologist has a crash restraint website that's chock full of great information. Wicked Dave has a website with tons of information. His partner Clover has a bottoming guide if you're on the bottom side of the rope. So yeah, there's not a lack of information out there. You just have to look for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's there.
I know a lot of people who learned their knots from watching YouTube videos.
Two Knotty Boys.
Two Knotty Boys have quite a few out there that I've looked at years ago, before I knew you.
Same. Yep. Yeah. I spent weeks, and like, pause, wow. Rewind, pause,
exactly.
Rewind.
Yeah. And fortunately, I had people who were willing to come over and let me practice, which is beyond helpful, learning anything, if you can practice on someone that's willing.
Sure.
How does that feel? Does that hurt? Does that pinch? If you lose feeling, you tell me, and all those things I would tell them. Because you got to practice remembering those things, too, sometimes, because you may be with someone that doesn't know what they're doing, and they may have never bottomed before.
Sure.
Now, if you lose feeling here, you tell me. Tell me quickly. Don't wait. Let's talk safety, because I was listening, because I listen to podcasts. That's kind of what I do. I don't know. And I was listening to... And this was really funny because they said they actually did this and tried it. And they're like, oh, wow. Everyone's like, you got to have your safety shears. You got to have your safety shears. What good are they if you've never used them? What good are they if you've never tried them? You need to get someone out of something quick. You don't want to cut your rope. But if you have to, like, not because they're suspended, you don't want to cut the rope and drop them on their head. But they're on the ground and something's bad. You got to cut them out.
No, that's absolutely true.
You get your safety shears and you start and you're like, uh-oh, and it slips and it doesn't cut the rope.
Well, I've been in a couple of those instances. There was a rope fashion show that I was doing for an event. And I had a couple of big pieces of bamboo decoratively attached to this girl. And it just was too much weight and cut off her blood supply somewhere, made her dizzy. So... put her down on the side, on her side, and just started cutting these things off, had my shears on me, and realized at that point that I will never, ever, ever not have them on me.
Right.
If I'm doing ropes. It was just the one moment that embedded that criticality of having all the tools that are necessary. So whether it's an escape hook or shears, having something to get you out of trouble is important because... as in many things in life, many cases and situations, it's not the trouble that you get into. It's how you get out of it.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Because ultimately, if you do it enough, you're going to probably get into trouble. But knowing how to get out of it, that's important.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, we like to talk safety. We do that on every episode, even when we just introduced ourselves. I think we talked safety. So, you know, it's always good to know that. And, you know, if you're negotiating a rope scene with someone, what are your safety protocols? What do you, you know, how are you going to communicate with me about this and that? And sometimes that's important to know as part of that negotiation, is that they have the proper safety stuff on hand and they know, you know, they know what they're doing. Because I've watched scenes get negotiated and they never once talked about safety. And I didn't want to stop them from, because they were content to go on and do it. But I was watching like a hawk for anything that could, because I knew I had some, I carry safety shears whether I'm tying someone up or not, usually. Since we've been redoing our closet, I'm not sure what bag they're in anymore.
Yeah, I've had a lot of conversations with myself about safety. A lot of it is related to the gorilla photo shoot stuff.
Right.
So, you know, I thought one time that I would throw a rope over this tree, very big tree.
Mm-hmm.
And the model said, you know, you don't want to do that because that tree's dead. And I was like, oh, no, but it's big. And so I yanked on the rope and the thing came down on top of me. So take those moments and I think, okay, well, we're learning. This is, we have great ideas and we should pay attention to them.
Mm-hmm.
So many times I'll end up in a situation where I think, okay, so I got this great picture, but I'm pretty sure that the lady that drove by saw it, and I don't know how she feels about that, and I don't know how I feel about that.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of have to make your peace with risk and reward. Right.
Right.
Again, though, not the trouble you get into. It's how you get out of it.
I remember a lot of the gorilla bondage stuff was going up on FetLife. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool. That's so cool. That's good. And then the police show up. And you're like, oh, crap. And then there was one picture. And then he posed with us. And I'm like, hey.
Picture. It's a funny reaction that they have. Usually they just want to know, is everybody safe? Everybody over 18 and consenting to this? Yes, yes, yes. Okay, done. We're on our way. Occasionally, they want to know, do you have a permit for this? once, I was asked for my ID. Once. So, very unintrusive.
Right.
But, you know, interested in everybody's safety. So,
and that's a good thing.
Absolutely. But I have suspended somebody right in front of a police officer on Main Street in Dallas. And at the end, I kind of looked at him and I kind of shoved my camera in his direction, hoping he might take my picture. And he waved me off and he said, you know, I'm pretty sure that's against the law. I don't know how.
Okay, well. That's too much fun not to be, right?
Right. I mean. Yeah. So I took his picture and then we were on our merry way. We didn't post that.
No, but I remember that story. That was an awesome story.
So it's safety is paramount in all of those things, because the last thing I want to do is injure somebody when I'm on the run and, you know, trying to evade security or whatever. But, you know, it's happened, and I learned from it. I was in Florida with my wife on vacation, and we were hitting a couple of locations and just, you know, gorilla bondage, quick suspension, and I tied something that wasn't secure, and she dropped a couple of feet, and she was fine and banged up a little bit, but it's a very sobering moment,
right.
Especially when the cab driver is taking it all in and wondering, you know, is this a situation where I call 911 or police, or what do I do? And so I try to make sure that in any situation where I make a mistake, I learn from it and don't make that same mistake again.
And that's a good thing. Always learn from your mistakes. So hypothetical, someone's doing a scene, something happens. Give us a rundown course of action just for someone who may be fairly new and not really, maybe they haven't encountered anything bad and they haven't heard. Because, you know, I think the more of the bad stories that you hear, the more you can learn, but it's not all bad. I remember some things that happen and a lot of people talk about them for a while and then it just kind of dies down and goes away. And you really wonder, did they learn from that? Or are they going, oh, I can't believe they're still tying people up after what that blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know, that's not helpful. Like, you're doing a scene, you're swinging someone and something slips, or the rope stretches, heaven forbid, and they're swinging and they bump their head. Just give us kind of a...
Yeah, my standard line is I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on TV. I just barely play one at home sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So seek medical attention immediately if you think there's any injury at all.
It's better to seek immediately and not wait, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the sooner the better, especially if a head injury. I mean, even sports are starting to take that more serious now. Football, they have concussion protocols. Baseball has concussion protocols.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's becoming a big deal. And it happens. I mean, we hit people. We tie people up. Sometimes they get dropped.
Having a plan for those things is really helpful. It's kind of like insurance, right? You plan ahead for things that might go wrong. And so...
You hope they don't. But what if they do? You need to have a plan for that. And it's always good to do that. And every situation is unique. So if you have a scene planned, make sure you have an out if something happens there. Not as in to take your name off of it, but as in to help the situation get resolved without someone getting seriously hurt.
Sure.
Or worse.
I mean, where's the closest trained medical staff? Is there anyone in arm's reach? If not, then where's the closest medical facility? And if you know those things beforehand, then your plan of action is, okay, well, if something goes wrong, then we'll go to this person first, and if they feel we need to immediately go somewhere, then we'll go to this place. And if you don't have that plan, then you just kind of look around and go, what should I do? This is a really important moment. I'm panicking. What should I do?
Right.
So I'm trying to think through your escape plan. You're out, you know, the worst case scenario and how to mitigate those issues is a smart thing.
Mm-hmm. Man, we talk safety. Safety's important. I think there's a lot of safe players out there, definitely. I think there's a lot of people who think they're safe, and for the most part they are, but every now and then they have a lapse of judgment, and I think that everyone may be guilty of that from time to time.
The odds start catching up with you, right? You know,
yes, they do.
If you do something once, then that's a whole lot different than trying it a million times.
And then it becomes a crapshoot as to when something will go wrong.
Can we talk about how important it is when you do rope to know the human body and where nerves are located and major arteries and things like that? Like how important it is to really have a good awareness of the body and what you're doing with it?
Well, you just summed it up. It's super important. So much so that a lot of education on specifically where nerves are in most people, everybody's different, but a lot of that anatomy information is becoming available. Miss Doctor has a class that is very informative on that topic. I know there's a sort of a whole bottoming track that has developed over the past couple of years. And with that, you know, not just, you know, how to vet your top or how to be safe, but, you know, how to understand what you're going to experience at this difficult moment and what to do to get yourself through that so that you get this transition done and into the next space, but you just have to realize in that moment it's going to suck and you have to tense this part of your body and push here and hold your breath and then it's done. And that kind of information is stuff that, you know, we never thought of to teach people.
Right.
And that and the anatomy, it's all really helping to avoid what, you know, happens is people lose motor ability. So wrist drop, ankle drop, lots of things can stop working if you impinge the nerves that tell that muscle to make it work.
Right.
Knowing to stay off spots that are very tender or soft, you know, ankles, wrists, places where you can do some damage pretty easily. It's just important to know those things before you really kind of dive off into the deep end.
And checking in during the scene too.
Yes.
You know, the whole touching your fingers together, make sure you still have feeling, you know, move your feet, make sure you still have feeling.
Are things purple now that were not before?
Right, well, and there's a difference between
visual cues.
Circulation numbness and nerve impingement
right.
numbness. and knowing the difference in those is important.
With some
as well.
Experience, you may get some firsthand knowledge. You may not. I don't know. Hopefully not, but
sure,
it could happen. And so you kind of got to know. So that's why I always ask for any kind of that sensation, because we can kind of look at it and figure it out and go from there and see if we need to back off and go at it another route or whatever.
Well, and if things are going numb and you can shift the rope a little bit and the feeling comes back, then that's one thing. And
right.
Nerve
sure,
damage.
Communication in scene is,
yeah.
Yeah, is important, especially if you're doing pickup play or something like that. If you have a partner that you've worked with a lot, then you may just be able to read each other or have signals that you give each other that are nonverbal that you just don't get from, you know, a pickup partner. So just telling somebody that, you know, please communicate with me. I'm trusting that if you feel strange or if something doesn't feel right, that you'll communicate with me that
right.
I'm feeling this, and we'll get you down or untied or work through it or move the rope or whatever fixes
right.
that.
Speaking of pickup play, this is kind of a story of how I kind of felt like I had, you know, I was finally somebody. I'm like, what's going on here? There was a Fuck Valentine's Day event several years ago now. You had spent the night making human chandeliers. You know the event now.
I do.
Immediately, because I think there was just the one. And later that evening, I had tied up a good friend of mine who was a cross-dresser, tied them up and was beating on them because their mistress was playing with someone else at the time. And when she got free, then I kind of passed her off to her. And I had another friend. It was their very first kink event. And she's like, tie me up like you did that and flog me. I'm like, okay. So I tied her up like that. And I looked over beside me and you were there and you were rigging people and doing stuff. And then there was another performer beside you rigging people. And y'all had lines going around. And all of a sudden I turned around and there was a line behind me. I'm like, what's this?
I'm a ride
like,
operator.
Holy crap. I've made it. Look at me. I have a line. I'm doing rope right by Dallas Kink. What the hell happened here? When did this happen?
They were in the wrong line.
Obviously. Because my line took longer because I tied them up and I would flog them and I didn't suspend them. And they were like, oh no, I want to swing. And then they would go over and get another line. And then several would stay. I'm just like, ooh.
People end up in my line because of sort of guilt by association. I had no idea what I was doing at the beginning, but I was standing next to these people that were very good at rope. And so
yeah, just figured
surely he knows what he's doing.
Ooh, but he has floggers too. Ooh, yeah. And then so my line was still there. So I'm like, well, I must be doing something right. So, well, okay, here we go. Let's do this thing. And we tied rope until they kicked us out, I think.
Yeah, that was a fun night.
It was. That was
I would not want to try that again.
No, you were very busy that night because you were up and down those, like, how that was like
was
a really tall ceiling.
Stupid tall.
And
yeah.
You had like 5-6 girls up wearing Christmas lights. You were climbing up and down, checking on them. I'm like,
yes, and that was not a situation
dude.
Where I just like hoisted them up with pulleys. They had to climb the ladder
yeah.
in front of me, and then I attached them when we got up there. It was
yeah.
ridiculous.
Yeah, it was great. And but it was a really neat effect. But wow, yeah, it's like I don't know what you were thinking, but go you.
To be honest, I almost told the producer of that event, look, I have to. This is not going to happen. Next year.
Well, the next year, I think it was at a venue with a much lower ceiling, so that would have been better. Yeah. Could have stood on a chair and hung him up.
I couldn't find her, though. She was gone off, producing the party, so I just thought, like, I guess I'm going to have to do this. It worked out. Nobody died.
Yeah, it worked out. No one died, and I enjoyed it. I was watching. I was kind of spotting you from the floor. You didn't know it.
Okay. I appreciate that.
It takes a village, and I'm not scared to be the idiot that jumps in to help,
You had to have been exhausted at the
end
of all that.
I could see it on his face.
Mostly
yeah.
just worry, just a fear that something could go wrong and really bad go wrong. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I was tired from tying a lot, but much more just from the stress.
Just the stress of the situation can wear you out twice as fast as the physical aspect of it. And having that many people up in the air and you're on a ladder with someone else and someone over there, you can't check in with them. And that's got to be really nerve wracking.
Sure. And if, two people decide that they're ready to come down at the same time, then how do you
you're
assess who's,
there.
Who needs to come down now or not?
Yeah.
now later. So.
Not now, but before later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a long, crazy night. But it was a good night.
I think that was the same night that the promoter offered to lick people and put a tattoo on them. And then came down with like three kinds of flu and swore to never, ever do that again. Well, finding those places is one of those talents that's really handy right now because
oh, definitely
there aren't a lot of places to do our things.
Right,
it's a struggle, right?
Yeah, Dallas is on the struggle bus.
Yes, we are
for venues to do things,
and it is the express.
Just that lack of community right now is big. Like you know, we can feel the distance from the community, and it's.
People who we used to see regularly were like, God, I hadn't seen you in so long. I know it's been months. It's been crazy. I don't know what to think. I have no words for this. This is, it's kind of like losing your clubhouse and
right?
backyard, you know, and where do we go? What do we do now? I don't know. And it's really crazy because we lost Sanctuary and then they leveled the marble door.
Is that already done?
It's already done. It's gone, yeah.
Wow.
It's
gone. Wow. I mean, they were serious that when they said, you know, after next month, nope, it's at the end of this month now. So, like, the second of the next month, bulldozers were out there.
Knocking it down.
Holy cow. Did they at least get the shower out? Because
it was a nice shower.
Yeah.
Well, thank you to Michael at Full City Rooster for letting us have the DFW Bound meeting there.
Yeah, I mean, it's at least, like, we were able to get out to Fourth Friday today. At least we could, like, yeah. see people and talk to people. But the opportunities to go out and play with friends around and like-minded people and not just by ourselves at home, they're slim.
Yeah.
Well, did you go to the community party that we had?
That's a story.
Okay.
So that was the weekend of my birthday.
Ah.
And I was scheduled to work Friday, Saturday, and Sunday because I do that every other week.
And we were really disappointed we weren't going to be able to go.
And we were really upset because that's, you know, that's I've been there at TASP every year, so I know the room. I know where it's easy to get to. We did it this year. We're looking forward to it. And then I'm like, oh, crap, I'm working.
Oh.
So Friday, I get up, go to work, exhausted, drive there.
An hour and a half drive.
An hour and a half drive to work.
Ouch.
Walk in the door, look to see what I'm doing that day on the board. Vacation. What?
Womp, womp.
Not just Friday, Saturday and Sunday as well. I had put in for vacation in January. I could have my birthday weekend off.
And totally forgot
about it. Because in the meantime, you know, I had a total knee replacement, you know, so.
Major life events happen and you forget.
Yeah, stuff happens.
So we could have gone.
Could have gone had I realized and known.
You're off.
But that did not happen.
And by the time that we realized he was on vacation. Tickets were sold out.
They were sold out a week before that.
Yeah.
So I was like, crap. So,
well, it sounded like it went well. People.
Everyone we talked to tonight said they loved it. It was a great time. It was very well run. They had plenty of stations. There were maybe a few lines for some things, but mostly it was really, really well done.
Yeah,
so
good.
I'm like, well, that's good.
Yeah. So all the group leaders this year are like, what? Why?
Yeah.
Well, we had this great space, and this is the year that I chose to lead the group that they decided to... Have the problems? That's not fair for me.
Yeah, it's not fair.
No, it's
fair.
No. It's a difficult time for group leaders to find places to do their thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know, we feel very fortunate that
and there's some groups that may not survive it. I don't know.
That's entirely true.
I mean, it's an unfortunate reality. But
things change.
Things can change.
Yeah.
Quickly, apparently. Because we lost everything within just a month or two.
It's stunning.
It's really crazy.
Well, let's have another party. I need to check your calendar.
Yeah. We'll
start there.
We'll start there.
I need to be independently wealthy so we can just travel around to kink events.
I agree. That's our next career is we're gonna buy an RV and we're going to travel around and I'm going to vend just to make some gas money and
awesome.
And we're going to do specialized cigars and everything else too, you know.
I think we've run out of things to talk about. So, when is Bondage Expo Denver?
All right. The 15th. 16th and 17th of next month.
Awesome.
September.
Just three weeks away. Around the corner.
Yeah.
It's right around the corner. If you don't have your tickets.
Is it sold out?
There are still tickets available. So bondageexpodenver.com is where you would sign up to get some.
I wish we could go.
Check in the calendar.
If it's 3 weeks, then you would be working. Well, if it's at all possible, we will make it to an event next year because we both really want to go. So
I'm thinking that BED is definitely in our future next year.
The launch party will be on October 1st at the church.
Okay. I know where that is.
Doors probably 9 o'clock. Show is probably 10:30-ish. We'll have, I believe, 4 performances and announce our headliner. Very, very excited about next year. Shouldn't jinx that until we get a firm yes. But
definitely.
Very excited about
awesome.
How things are coming
exciting
together for
news
that.
Exciting news coming.
Yeah. And then the last weekend of April in 2018 will be when that
last weekend of April.
Goes down.
You're checking your calendar, aren't
I'm
you?
I'm checking my calendar.
27, 8, 9.
27, 28, and 29. I'm not going to even tell him. Guess what I'm doing October 1st and April 27,
28,
and
29. Ta-da. Something ropey. Hey, now.
Something that I could buy rope with, maybe. I don't know about that. I'm working
He's
all those
working
days.
He's working all of those days.
So clearly they have checked my calendar, and they just don't want me there.
Well, maybe we could manage, you know, a weekend.
I'm thinking that I could
vacation.
Take a weekend off from yeah. bed. I could probably do that.
If we can get tickets, because it's yeah. such a successful event that it sells out quickly.
Bed has, the Dallas event has been for the past 4 years. I kind of think we're sort of in the same place with Denver. People are figuring out that, oh, this is the thing that's happening, yeah. yeah. Next year. It'll sell out quick, and then a year after that, and a year after that. So get it while you can. Get your education and your party, your camaraderie, your bragging rights. Yeah, I was there the first year when it all went down. You should have seen. You can say that.
That's right.
If you show up.
And if you actually have a ticket that's printed, you could frame it. And it might actually be a collectible one day. You just don't know. Might as give it a shot. Give it a shot.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining us. It was a great time.
I had a good time.
Good visit.
Good luck with it. I think you've got a good thing happening, and I look forward to hearing future episodes.
We've had some good feedback. I've had several people say that people that I know have had some new friends that listened, and they got something out of it. And it's really, you know, that's what we're going for, just to help people. Because, you know, it can be scary, even with a lot of resources that are out there, if you don't know where to look. And you don't know, you know, what you're looking for, even. Sometimes it's good to have good people to just kind of point you in the right direction. Maybe say, you know, might try that book. You might, you know, try this event. You might. And it's good to have good people. I had good
Absolutely.
People. That's how I got through the whole first everything. If it wasn't for the people around me, I would,
well,
I'd still be looking.
That's one of the reasons why I do feel so driven to continue to battle with all the logistics and headaches of doing these events, is because so many people were gracious and generous with their knowledge and time
yeah.
when I showed up. So you got to pay it forward.
And the event's going to be so big, you'll have Bondage Expo Delaware, the whole state.
I'm open to ideas. We've had waterbed, like a cruise.
That would
awesome.
Be amazing.
Yeah.
I would That'd totally awesome. Go to that.
See what you've done?
If Clover happens to be listening, she mentioned Bondage Expo Dublin, I believe.
Hey. Trying to figure out a way to make Hawaii work, but, you know, it's like...
I don't know of a D anything
Get laid
out there.
In bed?
That's what I was
hey
thinking.
Now.
That's what I was thinking. I could make it work.
No,
it.
You can make Australia work, because Bondage Expo Down Under.
Mm-hmm.
See, we're very flexible.
Bed
we
you.
Just, we like our puns.
And it will definitely be educational, because it will be bed you.
Hey, now.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a lot of fun.
Been a lot of fun.
Thanks again.
You know how you like your rope. Our friends at My Nawashi cater to those that are particular about their rope and choose to condition it themselves. Let them provide you the highest quality unfinished jute rope so you can have your rope your way. Custom rope available upon request. Go to www.mynawashi.com. That's www.mynawashi.com. Or email them at mynawashi@gmail.com.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Statistics show 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer in their lifetime, and it affects many others, family, friends, and loved ones. Breast cancer is the second leading cause of death among women. To help the fight and raise awareness this October, Minawashi Rope, along with a collection of rope vendors, will be donating 20% of all sales from their pink rope and pink rope kits to their favorite breast cancer charity to help eradicate this disease. Head to www.pinkropes.com to find Pink Rope campaign products. I torture you.